This is the third podcast here in Romans chapter 1. We're actually going to finish the chapter with this one, so I'm going to work as fast as I can. We're going to start in verse 18, but the introduction to it is that this gospel, which we should not and cannot be ashamed of, is the power of God unto salvation for anyone who believes. For it's through faith that the righteousness of God is given to man. So why is this so important? Why is this such great news? Why must we be unashamed? Well, this is the point of today's sermon, that men are without excuse before God for judgment, and that's why it's so important that we receive righteousness by faith through the power of the gospel. So verse 18 says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." This wrath is not what we view as our human anger, rather it's God's constant and righteous action against sin. And this is revealed, or continuing to be revealed, presently revealed from heaven, God's place of locale, his place of reign and rule and authority. And this wrath is revealed against ungodliness. These are, this idea is lies which are lacking in a walk with God, a heart towards God, and a direction towards God. It's also revealed against unrighteousness, that which is skewed and against God's will for his image bearers and creation. This, of course, would be all men here on earth from birth. So verse 19 says this, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse." It is almost like Paul is saying, I don't need to argue this point. It's clear. God's creation declares of his invisible attributes. He cares and sustains life. His eternal power, he holds the sea and stars in place. His divine nature, he's everlasting, and we are temporal. The nations are but a drop in the bucket. And this leaves man without excuse before the mighty and holy God. As verse 21 carries on, it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." His honor shows that we did not give him the glory he is deserving of, and this thanks. This world is full of people who view themselves of having self-made lives. But rather, everything that we have is from God. Every breath and every beat of our heart is a gift. So in contrast, man has tried to come up with its own deities and religion, and we show just how foolish we really are. Instead of worshiping the everlasting, incorruptible, holy Creator, we worship ourselves. God made man in his own image, and man turned around and tried to make God in his own image. And all around the world, there's worship of birds, worship of animals, and even bugs. There are some who worship a beetle that we know as a dung beetle. Oh, the foolishness of man. So verse 24 comes in and says, "Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." God let man loose because instead of doing that which they were created for, they did the opposite and exalted that which was made to exalt God Almighty. He let man's heart therefore run wild, and when man is left to himself, sin will always follow. And for time's sake, we don't have time to read through all these sins listed, but the first one that is listed is homosexuality, and the point there is simply that is an epitome of an illustration of the backwardness of man's sinfulness, taking a good gift from God and turning it askew. But we must recognize that's not the point of this text, and it's also not the only sin mentioned. It talks about us being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, being full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, being untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. And verse 32 says this, "And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." So the punishment for mankind's rejection of God and slide into sin is death. Once again, not just a separation from our loving Creator. The sin has gone so far that it is not only practiced, but rather worshipped and praised. This is just mankind run amok and askew. So why is it important? Why does Paul bring in this huge list of sins? Why does Paul point out the depravity of mankind? Well, really, when you have a very dark room and you light a candle, that candle shines much brighter than if you had lit it in a bright room. And what Paul is doing here is he is contrasting the power of the gospel and the love of God with the sin of mankind. He's painting a dark backdrop so that the power of the gospel and the righteousness that's gifted through faith can shine brightly. So what are some good responses? Well, rejoice in your salvation. If you've trusted in Christ, you're no longer in your sin, though you deserve to be in your sin and headed to hell. Number two, recognize and argue that mankind is sinful and deserving of judgment in need of the gospel. Share the gospel with those around you. Recognize the power of the gospel, that you were saved out of this situation. Reject those things which you were saved out of. Worship God alone. Do not allow any idols to slip in. And this is the hope, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Then he says, verse 11, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." There is hope for every single person to come to have the righteousness of God, which is found in Christ through faith.